Cool. Thanks for reading, Eva. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Great to see you all today, recovered from Holly's wedding reception. Also, welcome to those who are joining us online. Great to see you all here. My name is Michael. I'm one of the pastors at this church. I'm going to be speaking from those passages that Eva read for us, but also other bits in Proverbs. The title for the sermon today is Wisdom on Work. And so we're going to be digging through the book of Proverbs to see what God has to say as a whole about the work that we do and how we can be wise as we do it. I'm going to lead us in prayer as we head into God's word. So please join with me as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you say to us in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. And so, Lord, we pray today that we may trust in your wisdom, not our own. We pray that we may acknowledge you in all aspects of our lives, but especially today in our work. And we pray that for our various workplaces, that you may make our paths straight. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you ever wonder to yourself, am I doing a good job? I think it's something that all of us struggle with, at least a little bit, if we care a little bit about our work. We kind of think to ourselves, how do you measure whether the work that you are doing is the work that you should be doing? And then with God in the mix as well, I think we can also ask ourselves, how do I know if God is happy with my work? Does God really want me to be doing what I am doing now? How do I know if my work is leading me closer to God or further away from God? What sort of things should I be looking forward to or looking for to know if my work is going in the right direction? We know that the measures that people usually use for measuring the quality of their work are pretty shallow. Increasing income, increasing respect, better and longer job titles, having a longer and longer LinkedIn headline, or even an increasing sense of personal satisfaction. You know, there's something a little bit wrong with all of those. They're very crude measures, and we know that there is a lot of good work that cannot be measured by those things. So does God provide us with wisdom on how to know if we are doing a good job? Does God show us whether we are doing work that pleases God? Well, we're going to look into the book of Proverbs today. We're going to see the wisdom that God has for us on work. And we're going to see four measures, four trajectories that God wants us to travel on as far as our work is concerned. There are four ways that we can all be wiser at work. Now, you might remember last week we did a bit of an intro to Proverbs. Proverbs is a wisdom book. It is for people who recognize that they need wisdom, whether they are wise or unwise. You can always get more wisdom. We also saw last week, Proverbs are not promises, they are principles. We saw that Proverbs are not about rules, but about relationship with God. And Proverbs are not random, they are real. They have their basis in reality. And if you look at all of Proverbs and take together all the Proverbs that are about work, there are four trajectories of wisdom that we can see in the book of Proverbs. Worthlessness to worthiness, injustice to justice, sluggishness to diligence, and bad company to good company. And so we're going to go through each of these in turns. The first trajectory is from worthlessness to worthiness. Proverbs puts people on a choice between two paths as far as the work they will do is concerned and asks them, which way is your life going to go? What are you going to spend your energy on? What are you going to dedicate yourself to? And speaking into that question, you see Proverbs like Proverbs chapter 12, verse 11. Whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits lacks sense. And Proverbs 28:19, whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits will have plenty of poverty. The word worthless pursuits there is literally empty things. It's things with nothing in them. Other translations, instead of having the words worthless pursuits, they have chasing fantasies. As much as I might want to do it, and as much as people might encourage me to do it, I will never become a hip-hop music sensation. And I'll never become an Olympic 100 metres world champion sprinter or the Prime Minister of Australia. Those are not legitimate career choices for me. Those are fantasies. They are worthless pursuits should I try and dedicate myself to them. And part of growing in wisdom, I think Proverbs is trying to get us to say, part of growing in wisdom is growing in that discrimination between what is fantasy and what is reality. What is work and what is worthless. And that might actually be different things for different people depending upon their talents and their capabilities. But how do you know if something is worthy or if something is worthless as far as work is concerned? What are we actually working for? Well, Proverbs has a little bit to say about that as well. And Proverbs is actually pretty clear on this. Throughout Proverbs, it says, you work for bread. You work to put food on the table to provide for yourself and for your family. And that's why it says things in Proverbs like 12:14, from the fruit of his mouth, a man is satisfied with good, and the work of a man's hand comes back to him. 16:26, a worker's appetite works for him. His mouth urges him on. And Proverbs 27:23-27 talks about, know well the condition of your flocks and give attention to your herds. For riches do not last forever, and does a crown endure to all generations? When the grass is gone and the new growth appears, and the vegetation of the mountains is gathered, the lambs will provide your clothing, and the goats the price of a field. There'll be enough goat's milk for your food, for the food of your household, and maintenance for your girls. See, I think Proverbs seems to be saying, look, if your work keeps you fed, if you have clothing on your back, if you have a place to live, according to Proverbs, you're doing pretty well. Any more than that, we will get into next week when we talk about wealth, because most of us probably have a little bit more than that. But provision is a necessary minimum for work. But then also notice a proverb like Proverbs 11:26, which says, the people curse him who holds back grain, but a blessing is on the head of him who sells it. Now, the guy in this proverb is a guy who does work hard. He's got tons of grain. He's stored it up in barns. Maybe he's provided for himself, provided for his family, but still he is cursed by the people. He is still a fool. Why? Because he does not sell it. See, his work is also meant to be a benefit to others. Because the Bible's picture of a good economy is not just a trade of goods and services, but a trade of help. And so wise work is also a benefit to others. If you are able to see how people are helped by your work, you're probably also doing very well. And so you see this trajectory that God wants wise workers to follow as they go through life, as they grow in wisdom. Less and less worthless pursuits. Less and less chasing fantasies. And more worthy work that provides and helps others. Wherever we're at in life, God wants us to move from worthlessness to worthiness. Another trajectory that Proverbs shows us is the one from injustice to justice. Now, Proverbs is not naive. It's not pie in the sky. It's a book of ideals, but it also acknowledges that there is injustice in the world. 13:23 says, the fallow ground of the poor would yield much food, but it is swept away through injustice. Proverbs says that injustice happens. But far from saying, well, you know, bad stuff happens, that's the world that we live in, crime is a social fact, it is what it is, the game is the game, you know, all those things that people say about the world, Proverbs actually cares about injustice. And it calls workers to perform their work righteously and justly. Proverbs 11 verse 1, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. 16:11, a just balance and scales are the Lord's, all the weights in the bag are his work. In those days when you were trading grain or food or whatever, what you would do is you would carry around a set of weights with you to measure how much you were buying or selling. That would be weighed against kind of the stuff that you had bought. It was possible for you, if you were a cheater, to make your weights heavier or lighter than you said there were, kind of like loading a set of dice. But Proverbs is saying there that you can't do that. You know, you can't trade like that. You can't work like that and legitimately call your work the work of the Lord. It is the opposite. God hates that kind of practice. Now, we might not have weights in our work unless, you know, maybe you work at a fruit store or something like that. But I think we all have measures that we use in our work. You know, it is possible to have false balances and unequal weights when we write our resumes, or when we answer questions in job interviews, or when we fill out our own progress reports or reports on others. You know, we measure a lot of things in our work. We measure profits, losses, performance, satisfaction, social impact. Fudging the numbers in those contexts is unequal weights. God wants us to measure things fairly and honestly. Justice in work applies to the work that we do. Have a look at Proverbs chapter 11, verse 18. It says, "The wicked earns deceptive wages, but one who sows righteousness gets a sure reward." And 12, verse 12, "Whoever is wicked covets the spoil of evildoers, but the root of the righteous bears fruit." So this is now less about measuring and more about the actual work that you do when you work. And I've heard that within the criminal community, they have a derogatory term that they use for people who work regular jobs. They call them taxpayers, with everything that that implies about who pays taxes and who doesn't. And there's a bit of attractiveness to that kind of lifestyle, isn't there? A bit of attractiveness to a fully tax-free income. The writers of TV shows and movies, whenever there's a crime boss, they make a big deal about their wealth, you know, the house that they live in, their cars, their luxury. It's hard not to think when you see that, ooh, you know, that'd be nice. But God calls us away from that. Away from coveting the spoil of evildoers. People who are professional thieves, hitmen, whatever, you know, whatever it is, they provide for their families. But that is not enough to say that it is good work. Those kinds of dealings are deceptive wages. They are unstable, temporary. They're not dependable. But doing good work, righteous work, and doing it well, that can be depended on. For us here in this church, I'm not really aware of anyone here who is profiting from the proceeds of crime. But I'm also probably aware that if you were, you probably wouldn't tell me. So just in case, let me speak to you God's word and tell you that God calls you away from that. Proverbs 16, verse 8, "Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues with injustice." And so Proverbs is saying to us, as people go through life, as people grow in wisdom, hopefully, they also grow in the goodness of the work that they do. They don't become cynical and hardened and blind to injustice. They become more and more concerned about how they can do their work rightly. God calls us to move from injustice to justice. The next trajectory we see in Proverbs is a movement from sluggishness to diligence. And Proverbs has a lot to say about the foolishness of laziness, kind of disproportionate to kind of almost everything else in Proverbs. There's a lot about sluggishness and laziness. 10 verse 4, "A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich." Doing the minimum is not the way to success. Proverbs 18, verse 9, "Whoever is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys." You know, if you are lazy in your work, you might as well just go out and just destroy your work and the work of others. Proverbs 19, 24, "The sluggard buries his hand in the dish and will not even bring it back to his mouth." You know, this picture here of peak laziness. You know, you can do enough work to kind of put your hand in your food, but not enough to actually kind of bring the food even to your mouth. And Proverbs chapter 22, verse 13, "The sluggard says, 'There is a lion outside. I shall be killed in the streets.'" Imagine if you're a high school teacher and the reason one of your students gave for being late to school was, "Sorry, sir, sorry, ma'am, there was a lion outside my house and I did not go out because I feared for my life." You know, this is meant to be ridiculous. Sluggards make silly excuses for not going out to work. That's just the tip of the iceberg for what Proverbs has to say to the lazy. And I think it's probably because that is something that affects us all. And instead of sluggishness, God calls his people to diligence in their work. Chapter 6, 6 to 11, we read this. "Go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. It's saying here, look, wise workers take initiative. It says there, without having any chief, officer, or ruler. You know, sometimes in the garden or in the kitchen, maybe, you see a single ant just kind of walking along by himself, carrying a little crumb of bread or something. No one's micromanaging that guy. You know, there's no hierarchy of ant project managers or ant solutions architects. You know, they don't need that. Wise workers do not need to be told or forced or bribed to do good work. Wise workers are mindful of the times. She prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. They know the proper time to plant. They know the proper time to harvest. They don't play when they should be working. They don't work when they should be with family. They do the right thing at the right time. And wise workers are vigilant. It says their poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man. Sluggards are surprised when their lack of work leads to nothing. Robbers and armed men, you don't expect them. Failure is the same. Failure is a surprise to someone who does not want to work. But those who are wise can prepare for times when they might be in need. Wise workers also pursue excellence in their work. They want their work to be of good quality. Chapter 22, verse 29. Do you see a man skillful in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. See, wisdom is not just about being able to do your job at a minimum standard. It is about wanting to become better and better at what you do. One of the striking things, though, that about Proverbs and work is how little it speaks about rest. It's actually really different to our world, isn't it? You know, we are constantly told, you know, make sure you get enough sleep. You've got to recharge your batteries at hours a night. That kind of thing does not appear in Proverbs at all. And in fact, whenever sleep or rest is mentioned in Proverbs, it is mentioned negatively. And so chapter 20, verse 13, love not sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes and you will have plenty of bread. You kind of think to yourself, but I love sleep. Sleep is good, isn't it? And so you're asking, look, does God want us to become workaholics then? I've got a few thoughts on that. Firstly, remember please that Proverbs is about being wise. But it's not just about being wise at work, but also other things, about things like family and parenting and relationships and walking with God as well. Those things require time and energy too. And so a wise person will be able to divide their time sensibly, firstly. Secondly, work context during that time was very, very different from ours. They worked mainly in farms. They worked from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. because that was when light was out, the sun was out. There was very little opportunity to work outside those hours. They didn't have electric lighting. Night shifts were not really much of a thing unless you were a night watchman or something like that. Less than 3% of the population was literate, and so you couldn't do a lot of work with words. I think also for the people of Israel, it was assumed that they would not work on the seventh day, the Sabbath. They would spend it in worship of God. And so quite possibly for their context, rest was already locked into their lifestyle as a non-negotiable. And I think thirdly also, I think for most of us, kind of, let's be honest, the trajectory that we need to take for our work is away from sluggishness to diligence. Now, I'm not sure that there are many workers who I know who would say to themselves, no, I actually need to be less diligent in my work. You know, for most of us, it is less and less worthless pursuits. Less and less lame excuses, less and less lions in the street. And more meaningful work, whether it's in our workplaces or at church or at home or in the community. And so as people grow in wisdom, God willing, their attitude to work changes. There's less of a hatred of work, less of an aversion to work, and more of a pursuit of initiative, timeliness, vigilance and excellence. There's a move from sluggishness to diligence. And then finally, in Proverbs, there's a move from bad company to good company. Proverbs has a bit to say about the company that you keep, and I think one of the wise things that Proverbs has to say about company is that it talks about things like friends, it talks about things like people you hire at work, but It doesn't usually talk about things like family or your authorities or your boss at work. And I think there's a wisdom in that because God knows that there are many relationships in your life that you cannot change. There are people who you are stuck with, but there are some that you can. And for those you can change, Proverbs encourages you, choose wisely. For the people you hire, there is Proverbs chapter 10, verse 26, like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send him. You know, you try and send a lazy person to do a job for you, it is painful, isn't it? You have to manage them. You have to spell it out for them. You have to follow it up to make sure that they've done the work. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 10 as well. Like an archer who wounds everyone is one who hires a passing fool or drunkard. Now, can you imagine walking into your office with a bow and arrow and just kind of spinning around, randomly firing at everyone around you? It's what Proverbs is saying here. That's the damage that comes from hiring a fool. And it's true, isn't it? Recklessness and foolishness in the workplace doesn't just damage one person. It affects everyone around them, everyone that they work with. But notice here as well that the reckless archer is not the fool, but the one who hires them. See, there's a responsibility there that the wise person will take on. And in contrast to that kind of bad company, there is a good kind of company that is recommended. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. Where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. And 24 verses 5 to 6, a wise man is full of strength, and a man of knowledge enhances his might. For by wise guidance you can wage your war, and in abundance of counselors there is victory. People who are wise do not go it alone thinking that they know best. They seek the counsel of wise people, people who are not just a cheerleading squad for them, people who can sometimes say to them, no. Or maybe not yet, or yes and, or yes but. People who have your best interests at heart, people who want you to do good work like you want to do good work. Those are the kinds of people to have around. And so as people become wise, the company that they keep also changes. They seek less people who are destructive, people who tear others down, and they seek more people who are interested in them doing good. There is a move from bad company to good company. And so back to our question at the beginning, you know, how do you know if you're doing a good job? Well, maybe check what you're doing against the wisdom that God has in Proverbs. Are you moving from worthless pursuits to worthy work? Are you moving from injustice to justice? Are you moving from sluggishness to diligence? Are you moving from bad company to good company? Or are you moving the other way? Now, I think that's the way to gauge how wise a worker you are. One last thing as well that hopefully ties all these things together is that a heart of worship to God should underlie all of our work. In our work, there should always be a desire to give glory to God. Jen and I watched the movie Chariots of Fire recently. It's based on a true story about a runner, Eric Liddell, who won the gold in the 400 metres in the Paris Olympics in 1924. He was a faithful Presbyterian Christian and became a missionary to China after winning gold. And he saw his ability to run as a gift from God. And there's a quote from him in the film where he says, "God made me fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure." That is the sentiment, I think, behind Proverbs chapter 16, verses 1 to 3, the other passage that we read. The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. You know, underneath all these habits and attitudes and decisions of our work, it is a desire to do the work of God, to use the gifts that God has given us, and God willing to feel his pleasure as we work for him. Let me pray that that might be us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our work. Thank you that even in this church, there are many of us, such a variety of different kinds of work among us. Lord, we pray that we may be people who seek to worship you in our work, that we may commit our work to you. And Lord, we pray that we may be wise workers and that our work may reflect those trajectories that you give us in Proverbs. We pray that our lives may be marked by less and less worthless pursuits and more and more worthy work. We pray that we may have less and less injustice in our work and more justice. We pray that we may be moving from less and less sluggishness to more and more diligence. And we pray that the company that we keep may encourage us and help us and counsel us to do good work. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.